Good morning. My name is Jerry Bruett, and I used to be the senior pastor. Now I just give your senior pastor a hard time whenever I have the opportunity. I do have to remind you that I was not first choice this morning. Pastor Mike asked my son Chet to speak. And he said, I have a more important job. I'm teaching the kids in the back. So we agree that that was a very important job. So anyway, I am here. You always know when a former school teacher is speaking, fill in the blank in the back. And you'll have a short quiz at the end of the sermon to see if you were listening this morning. It's important to listen, isn't it? When I was teaching high school, I taught high school English, I taught speech, I taught writing, expository writing. I taught subjects like Shakespeare. You would have loved my classes, you really would have. One of my kids said, Mr. Bruett, do you really like this stuff? I said, I love it, and by the time this class is over, you're going to learn to love it. So, no, it was all good. C.S. Lewis wrote this, and I really like it. We may have it. If you want a religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly wouldn't recommend Christianity. I don't know what you were told when you became a Christian, but I hope somebody didn't tell you it's all smooth, easy, the easiest life there is. No, it's not the easiest life. The way of the cross is not easy, but it's the best way, folks. I guarantee you that. And the end is going to make it all worthwhile. I am thankful that we were singing those songs, the power that there is in the name of Jesus. Isn't there? If you want to be saved, I know a name that can save you. If you want to be forgiven, I know a name that can wash away your sins. If you want a new life, I know a name that can give you new life here and now. If you want to go to heaven when you die, I know a name that can give you peace when you go to sleep tonight and take you to heaven when you die. The name is the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And listen, folks, if you will call on his name, you will be saved. Go to the cross, lay your sins on Jesus. He died for you. You call out to him with all of your heart. The Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There are three, I think, big, I call them monsters that come against Christians: doubt, unbelief, and fear. But I believe that fear is probably the biggest monster of all. Have you ever experienced fear? What are some things that people fear? Tell me a few. Death? COVID? What else? Rejection? Public speaking? Conflict? What's that? Okay. Anyone else? We were watching a thing on the Weather Channel last night. Was it a lady or a guy that was walking across 6 football fields over this canyon that was thousands of feet high? It took him almost an hour, or her almost an hour, walking barefoot across this thing thousands of feet down. That would scare me. You know what the greatest fear is? Number one fear of people? What'd you say, James? Public speaking. Isn't that amazing? People fear public speaking more than they fear death. That's amazing to me. But fear is a big one in Christian's life, and maybe that's why, in one way or another, it's mentioned 365 times in the Bible to fear not. Isn't that amazing? Almost one for every day of the week, just in case it's there and it's something we have to deal with. The title of the message this morning is A Mighty Fortress. Everyone say, A Mighty Fortress. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, give thanks in some circumstances. Well, give thanks in most circumstances. Give thanks in what? All circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's a pretty amazing verse, isn't it? And it's not a suggestion. You know, if you were in my English class, I would say that's an imperative sentence. It's a command. Amazing. In your bulletin on the back, if you've got a pen or a pencil, we learn so much more, I believe, in times of sorrow than in times of joy. Listen, look at these words from Robert Browning Hamilton. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and not a word said she, but oh, the things I learned from sorrow when sorrow walked with me. Isn't it amazing? The Bible says, be not afraid, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Give him praise and total control over everything, folks, and you'll walk a good path. In your bulletin, have faith. Everyone say faith. Have faith like never before. And then right after that, listen, if God is in control, there are no mistakes. All right? Whatever difficulties you may be facing right now as a child of God, know that God loves you. He is with you by his Holy Spirit. And that's why it's important to develop a spirit of thankfulness, even in the midst of trouble and heartache. Again, in your bulletin, if affliction, everyone say affliction. It's one of my kids' favorite words. That's too long of a story to explain to you. But if affliction causes us to learn, then we must be grateful. Everyone say grateful. We must be grateful to God for it. When we suffer, when we go through hard times, and yet we keep praising God, it gives him glory. And listen, if God is glorified in your life and mine, can't we thank him even though we may not feel thankful at the time? Pray this prayer after me. Father God, I declare by faith that my mind is prepared, my heart is ready, and my spirit is excited to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Joe, come and read our scripture here this morning, would you?
From Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Amen, folks. Amen. Amen. By the way, I want to just add that if you are new to this church, Living Hope Church, I just want to remind you that Living Hope Church is a charismatic or Pentecostal church. And if you're new and you hear someone give a message in tongues or you hear a prophetic word or whatever, it's perfectly scriptural. If you read in Acts chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. It'll explain it all to you. But it's one way that God speaks to the church and gives us the word of encouragement in many different ways. Amen? This psalm was written, most scholars believe, during a time when Sennacherib, who was an evil king, was coming against and was laying a siege against Jerusalem. And this psalm was being written. If you can imagine living in a walled city under siege from foreign army, there's soldiers milling around and marching on all four sides. They're building these ramparts to come against this city. They're shooting these firebrands from the outside to the inside. And then add to that the lack of food and thinking of the prospect of death or slavery and families going to be ravaged and no communication with anybody in the outside world, your focus would be one of impending doom. You've lost the offensive in life. All you can do is sit and wait, and you're forced by circumstances to be on the defensive. And your fate really lies outside of your control. The question is, can you outlast the enemy? And the siege wears on and on. Depressive circumstances, forced to maintain a survivalist mentality. You deal with despair and depression and certainly fear. And safety within the city appears like it's very, very tenuous and temporary. But that's the situation here when Psalm 46 was being written. Siege, by the way. A siege is a prolonged period of hardship or misfortune. A sense of being under attack from something. And I think everyone can think of something in their life where they've been under this kind of siege. Verse 1 breaks right through that siege mentality as a great shaft of light. Verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Would you read that out loud with me? God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. You know, those same words inspired Martin Luther in the mid-1500s. After the lifting, there was a siege of Vienna where all the enemy soldiers were coming. And by the way, Martin Luther pretty much stood alone for his time when he began to teach that you're not saved by your works, you're saved by faith. That wasn't a well-received word in the church of its time. It was a word that came against a lot of the established religion teachings of the time. And during that time, he wrote this incredible hymn called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And I want to just show you a couple verses of that song, just to kind of show you where he was coming from. First verse said, A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. But still, for still our ancient foe, we know who that is, the enemy, doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal. Verse 2 says, Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Thus ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, which means the Lords of Heaven armies, his name. From age to age the same, and he must win the battle. He stood alone when all were coming against him. And he wrote this incredible, incredible hymn. I thought about singing it to you this morning, but I chose the better way there. We find ourselves in him. We are in Christ. You may be in trouble, but you're not outside of God's care and protection and love. Your resources, my resources may not last, but his strength will last forever. Again, in the back of your bulletin, in your hour of need, the enemy will tell you that the Lord is never present, he's seldom present, or he's sometimes present. But folks, listen to me this morning. Jesus is ever present. Do you believe that this morning? Matthew 28:20 says, Be sure of this, I am with you often. I am with you sometimes. I am with you always. Isn't that a great verse? Even to the end of the age, even to the end of your life, he is with you. Right till your last breath. And your next one will be in heaven with him. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you. See, it's important to read the word, isn't it? And just the way it, not how you feel, but what the word says. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? Man. And then the psalmist leaps to a prospect even more horrible than a siege. Just think of a horrible, horrifying earthquake where the mountains collapse in the sea. Look at verse 2. It says, therefore we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Those waters roar like a tidal wave and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Therefore we will not fear. Everyone say, we will not fear. Are you getting the message that God wants to give you today? We will not fear, he declares. Faith. We need faith to believe. And listen, faith that only works in the good times isn't really faith at all, is it? Your faith shows itself, kicks in when things really start to be troubling around you. Could be a relationship, could be a work situation, could be a physical situation. Is your faith going to work for you then? Because that's when it shows itself. We have a choice. We can trust God and not fear, or mistrust him and we'll fail every time. You're going to get no benefit, no comfort from his presence until you realize there in the, it says in your bulletin, that he is always there. He is there. He's always there. Your refuge, your strength, and your help. Your refuge, your strength, and your help. And then the message in verses 4 through 7, I'm going to read 4 through 6 first. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Does that work today? A nation's in an uproar? Is our nation in an uproar? I hope you're not in an uproar. Let the nations, they're going to be in an uproar. But the church, faith, trust, an uproar. Above all that, I love these verses in 4 through 7. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. He takes us here kind of out of the earthly situation and gives us a little bit, I think, of John's view from Revelation of heaven. Above all the conflicts and the things that are going on in a desperate world, there is a city, pristine, pure, beautiful, that hovers in the heavens. Our world may be chaotic, but heaven is not. So the psalm lifts our hearts and our minds out of this time of siege and trouble and hardship to focus on the eternal city of God. Listen, this world is not our final home. Aren't you glad of that? Paul said, if we only have hope in this life, we are all people most miserable. And he said, I might as well just shut up and not preach to you anymore. But it's not our final home. Thank God for that. Our earthly night will end, for God will help her, it says, at the break of day. The Bible loves, God loves the image of the breaking of day. It was The breaking of day that ended Israel's bondage and slavery when the waters of the Red Sea parted and engulfed the enemies of God's people. It says in the New Testament, God, our Lord, rose from the dead early in the morning on the first day of the week. When Jesus comes again, the long darkness of this world is going to end. And a golden daybreak of his eternity and his presence and his glory. No night there. So I like that hymn in the early 1900s that Carl Blackman wrote. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battle's all done. He will shout the victory. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me, for you folks. It's going to happen. All is well in heaven. All is well in Jerusalem above. God's in his residence. Nations may be in an uproar, and they are. But when God lifts his voice, kingdoms fall and the earth melts. Never be mistaken who's ultimately in control of this world, folks. The people that say they're in control and think they're in control, they're not in control. That's why we need God's word now more than ever. It's no wonder the psalmist declares, the Lord Almighty is with us. This is interesting, I think. Why does he say, the God of Jacob is our fortress? You know, look at that. Why the God of Jacob? I mean, of the three biggies? Why not the God of Abraham? I mean, Abraham, you know, come on, he started it all, right? Why not the God of Isaac? He's a pretty amazing guy. Why the God of Jacob? This is what I think. Because Jacob struggled, had some real hard times, and he prevailed. He knew the insecurity of not being the favorite child. He knew the insecurity of being a fugitive from his brother's anger. He cheated, and then he was being cheated, and he was tricked. He knew loss. His beloved wife died, and then, of course, the presumed death of his favorite son, his adorable son. God of Jacob. Without those struggles, God would have remained to him, I guess, the God of my father Isaac, the God of my father Abraham. But through his struggles, the Lord became very real to him. God of Abraham, yes. The God of Isaac, yes. The God of Jacob, yes. The God of Jerry Bruett, yes. The God of Mike, yes. Your God, yes. The God of you will always prevail. He's your God. He's not just Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's yours. Verse 8. Come and see the works of the Lord. Everyone say, come and see. That's our invitation. Come and see the works of the Lord. The desolation he has brought on earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Be still and know that I am God. Why can we do that? Because it says, I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know that I am God. Everyone say, be still and know that I am God. That's a good verse. And it's not an easy one. Who wants to be still when things are falling apart around us? Don't just stand there, do something. These people, the Israelites, were being besieged by the enemy, surrounded. And the word is be still? Really? Sometimes we have to be still. In the midst of some of the hardest times, just be still. And listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. And listen for his word. And try to get a perspective from God's line of sight. Not just the one spot in my life where all chaos is breaking loose. That perspective will help you understand that, God has triumphed in many humanly desperate situations. Come and see that God is in control. Come and see that God will fill you with peace even when things around you are in chaos. Come and see that even in the midst of your sickness, even in the midst of your struggles, you'll see that God is there. And it'll be more than a feeling. It'll be faith. I like to feel, but sometimes I don't. We have to go by faith. This is what God's word says. What I say, what anybody else says, what does God's word say? Be still and know that I am God. We know the end, don't we, from the beginning. And when you read scripture, you're not living in fear of what's going on around you. We know that it's all coming to a head ultimately. And I don't know when that trumpet's going to sound or that call from heaven to come up. Maybe sooner than we think, maybe not. It doesn't make any difference. He is going to come. And if he doesn't come before you die or I die, then when we die, we will go to be with him. Then we'll come back with him. Does that help? To know that? Those are the things. Know God's word. Be still and know that I am God. He has conquered battlefields in the past and he will continue to do it. Look at where God is in the word. Look at where he is in your life. In your bulletin, I must make the connection. If God has won victories elsewhere, he can do it here. And he can do it with me. Do you believe that this morning? I want you to read a prayer of response that I wrote out for you today. Can you put that up on the... Make this a prayer and let's read it out loud together. Lord, my soul wants to do everything except be still. I am in a personal siege and feel my well-being so very threatened. But I have hope today because of your presence in my life. I am safe in you. You strengthen me and make me so secure. Amen. Amen. I wanted to hear you say that last part. That was so, so good. Worship team, would you come on up? We're going to take communion. I'm just going to have a word of prayer with you first, if you just bow your heads for a moment. Communion is always a beautiful time. It's a time that hopefully will bring us close to God and bind us together as a body of believers. Everyone is welcome. You don't have to be a regular part of this church to take communion. The Bible just indicates that Jeannie, would you come up too? That he wants you to know him and have a relationship with him. So if you don't do that, I'm just going to ask two questions. I'm going to do a quick prayer, and then we're going to do a communion. If you've not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't have a personal relationship with him and know in your heart that if you were to die today, you would immediately go to heaven, but you want that, you want to know Jesus as your Savior, you want to confess your sins to him and just say, Jesus, I give you my sin, I give you my life, and I receive your salvation, I receive your gift today of eternal life. If that's you and you want me just to say a quick prayer for you before I close, just raise your hand and I will remember you in prayer. So I want to give everyone an opportunity. I'm going to say, Pastor Jerry, I got some seizures going on in my life. I'm going through some struggles and I'm wavering. And I'm thankful for the word today. And I just would like for you to remember me in prayer that God would give me the strength that I need to face what's coming up in my life or the things that are already going on in my life. Just raise your hand and I'll remember you. Yeah, sure. Yep. Amen. Amen. So, Father, you see our hands. And as we prepare now for communion, when we remember and give thanks for all that you've done. I pray for these here, Lord, everyone here today, their life, their families, their circumstances, things that they've been praying for and maybe having a hard time believing for. I pray that you would fill each of us with faith and trust today to believe that you're going to turn circumstances around in our life and the people that we love and care for that are really struggling today and hurting today. And maybe at this time of the year, just suffering from loneliness because of losses they've had in the past, and this season just kind of brings it even clearer. Lord, be close to us. Come close into our hearts, into our lives, into our minds. I pray you'd fill each of us with peace, with trust, with belief, that you would remove fear and doubt and unbelief, and just fill us to overflowing with your presence and your love. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.